What is described in these verses, friends, is the most solemn event in the history of the world, with the exception of Calvary. We're about to think about God's awesome, holy wrath unleashed upon mankind because of their great wickedness. And sadly, many, many people regard this story as a fairy tale or as a myth. However, saying that, in December, the Telegraph reported that Robert Ballard, the underwater archaeologist who found the Titanic, he has become recently persuaded that this biblical great flood, that it actually happened, as it appears in these verses. But friends, we don't need testimonials from such men as Robert Ballard. All we need is the fact that it's here for us in the Bible. And if you need more, Jesus speaks of it 4 times, regarding it as historical fact. As well, other writers in the New Testament, they speak of this flood. It happened. And so clearly, we can accept this flood account to have been an actual, real, historical event. Now, we're not going to get into the great debates this evening regarding this flood, whether it was global or not, whether all the animals could actually fit into the ark. For those of you who have such questions, I am sorry to disappoint. I'm afraid we simply don't have time this evening to get into such matters. If you'd like, I could give you some more information about it another time. But I want to focus this evening on the main character in these verses. That is, other than God. The man whose name crops up 17 times in these 37 verses. Noah. As we mentioned last week, this is an immensely important passage in the Bible. And it's important for you this evening if you're not yet a Christian. It says to you that you need to run to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because this flood that we read of is a faint picture of the judgment that will come. You need to get into the ark this evening. But it's important for Christians this evening too, because it reminds us that this judgment, it's coming. And we need to warn others about it. So let us think firstly, we have 3 points this evening. We think firstly, like Noah, we must obey God. Like Noah, we must obey God. We are reminded in verses 11 to 13 of chapter 6 of the state that the earth was in. It's not good. It's not attractive. Verse 12. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. People are killing each other. They're destroying each other, causing all kinds of mayhem. And so God says to Noah in verse 13, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence. Now, friends, try to realize the huge solemnity of this. By this time, the world was well and truly populated. It's not just Noah and his family and a few other families. There were hundreds of millions of people. All of them, except Noah and his family, to be wiped out. All except it to be destroyed. God tells Noah to build an ark, a big, big boat. Verses 14 to 16 are the instruction manuals. Now, this is long before flat packs, long before IKEA. Made of gopher wood. Now, there's to be rooms inside it. It's to be covered with pitch inside and out. It's to waterproof it. It's to measure about 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high, to have three decks and a door in the side and a roof. Try to wipe from your mind those silly pictures from many children's storybooks. This is not an overloaded bathtub with giraffes and elephants poking their heads up. It's to be an immense barge-like box. I tried to do some comparisons. The length of the ark would have been almost exactly the same distance from the front door of the church, if you turn left, all the way to the bus station. That's roughly the length of the ark. Its width would be from me to our front gates. That's roughly the width of the ark. Its height, if you're to take our meeting house, if you're to flip it up on its end, that would be roughly the height of this ark. Massive. It wasn't until the late 1800s, that a bigger boat was built. So let's not let the fact that this story is so familiar lessen the impact of these words. This is a boat on a gigantic scale, an ark. Where does Noah live? He lives in a desert. He is not highly skilled in boat making. No one around him is. Probably he has never even seen rain falling from the sky. We can't be completely sure, but up until now it doesn't seem to have rained at all. Genesis 2, 5 and 6 tells us about a mist that came up watering the earth. So this whole thing, it's astounding. On top of that, verses 19 to 21, who is to come onto the ark with him? It's not people. He is to bring animals. This boat isn't for his friends and neighbours. It's going to be for him and his family and every sort of animal. Mad. Bizarre. Can you imagine Mr. Noah telling Mrs. Noah that he's going to do this? Imagine some of you husbands telling your wife about some harebrained idea you have. You can imagine Mrs. Noah. This is not going to be a weekend hobby. This is going to be a full-time job for over 100 years. When you think about that, friends, what the Lord commanded Noah was incredible. What would you say? We would think, it's not feasible, God. It's not logical. It's too costly. It will take too long. What does Noah do? What does Noah do? Well, twice we're told Noah did everything that God commanded him. At 6:22 and 7 verse 5. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. For over 100 years, he builds. Who helps him? His three sons. Every day, except for the Sabbath, for over 100 years, Noah gets up, puts on his tool belt, wakes up his boys, goes out and works on the boat in the middle of a desert. Boys, get up. Let's go to work. We've got to go build that boat. Dad, everyone thinks we're freaks. We're building a boat in the middle of a desert. But yes, that's what God commands us to do. Noah obeyed God. Do you think he was ever laughed at? Of course he was. But he's obedient to God. How long have you been obedient to God? For over 120 years, Noah obeys God. Have we gone 15 minutes? 5 minutes? 120 years, Noah is swinging his hammer. He's carving. He's chiseling. He's chopping. 120 years building this boat. Everyone thinking he's bonkers. The pressure to quit must have been tremendous. Yet he keeps plodding on. He keeps obeying. Single-heartedly giving himself to obeying God. It didn't matter that he couldn't see the big picture. It didn't matter if it brought scorn and derision. It didn't matter that his children were the odd ones out at school. It didn't matter that his family were considered the weird family in the neighborhood. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. And friends, surely the challenge comes to us. Are we doing everything that God commands us? Are we obeying God? God commands us to obey everything. That's our standard, really, to get into heaven. Heaven's a perfect place. Nothing imperfect can get into heaven. God requires perfection. And being honest is an impossibly high standard. And so Noah, well, he's a bit like Jesus, isn't he? Because Jesus did everything that God commanded him. Perfectly obedient in every way. He fulfilled every part of the law for our benefit. We must obey God, friends. Like Noah, we must obey God. And secondly, like Noah, we must warn others. Like Noah, we must warn others. In the New Testament, we read 8 times of Noah. That's quite a lot. 8 times. One of those occasions, he's described as a herald or a preacher of righteousness. That's in 2 Peter 2, verse 5. So not only was this man a joiner, not only was he a zookeeper, but he was a preacher, an evangelist, a Christian on fire for God for 120 years. This message of God's judgment hangs upon him. There he is, he's building his boat, obeying God, and you can imagine the conversations. What's that, Noah? It's an ark. What's an ark? It's something to protect us from the flood. What's a flood? Well, God says he's going to destroy the world. We better get ready. And in chapter 7, verse 4, he is given a warning. The 120 years they have counted down were down to 7 days. Only 7 more days until this flood, God says. Do you not think Noah would have been crying out to the bitter end until the door shuts, inviting his neighbours to stop sinning, join him in faith? Please, judgment is coming. Please repent. We've built this for a reason. It's big enough to house us all. There's enough room for all of us. Would you please trust God? And the people, they just mocked. They just laughed. They just ignored him. Every day, they would have heard his hammer banging, banging, banging away, like the tick-tock of a clock, counting down the seconds to the pending judgment. All the time warning them, speaking to them, pricking their conscience. Christian this evening, does Noah not bring you to your knees in shame? Who was the last person you spoke to about the coming judgment? Have you ever told anyone about the coming judgment? Jesus says in Matthew 24 that just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days prior to Christ's return. People eating, drinking, marrying, living without regard to God and His promised judgment. Isn't that happening today? Isn't it exactly the same? Jesus says that's what it's going to be like before the next judgment. Friends, surely we should be telling people. Surely we should be warning people at this, like preachers of righteousness, like Noah, heralds for God. We're to be warning men and women and boys and girls of the dangers of the coming judgment. We don't know when it will come. Noah was told that there would be 7 more days. The day of the flood dawned like any other normal day. The judgment, it came suddenly, but not without warning. We don't know how many days it will be. It could be 7. Fellow Christian, your neighbour may have entered their last 7 days. You must tell them. Your colleagues, they may have entered their last 7 days. Your unbelieving family members, they may have entered their last 7 days, perhaps less. Soon it will be the end. So Christians, let us not give up when very few people listen. Let us not give up when people laugh at us or think us odd. Do you think Noah gave up? We must warn others. Perhaps you're here this evening and you have heard many, many, many warnings, and you've ignored them all. You must not do that with God's judgment. I wonder, does your car have an alarm? Maybe you bought a new car a while back and the alarm it kept going off for some reason. Or perhaps there's a warning light on the dash. It goes off so much that you don't even really pay any attention to it. That's sometimes a problem with warnings. People can become so used to them. You must not do that with God's judgment. It's coming. It's coming. You may have entered your last 7 days. Are you ready for that judgment? Like Noah, we must warn others. And then thirdly, like Noah, we must enter the ark. Like Noah, we must enter the ark. We must obey God, we must warn others, and we must enter the ark. For 120 years, people watched Noah and his sons building. They watched the animals streaming in from all parts of the globe. They watched Noah and his family get into the ark. The door was still open for any to join them. They watched as God shuts the door. The rain started, and it was too late. It wasn't enough, you see, just to know about the ark. Many in Noah's day knew about this ark, we can be sure, but they never got on board and they perished. It wasn't enough just to admire the ark. I'm sure many marveled at the size of this thing, but they never got on board and they perished. It wasn't enough just to intend to get onto the ark sometime. There were perhaps some in Noah's day who had good intentions. Maybe they said, Noah, I'll come next week. But they're too busy. They perished. Maybe others said, I don't want to give up my business right now, Noah. that's just beginning to turn a healthy prophet, they perished. Maybe others said, look, I'll get on board when my friend or my husband, when they decide to come. But their friend, their husband never decided. They perished. The only ones to be saved were Noah and his family. 8 people. Do you remember the children's song? Mr. Noah built an ark. The people thought it such a lark. Mr. Noah pleaded so, but into the ark they would not go. Down came the rain in torrents. Down came the rain in torrents. Down came the rain in torrents. And only 8 were saved. There was no security anywhere but inside that ark. Surely it's plain to all of us this evening that this ark, there's more to it. Is it not a signpost? Is it not a pointer pointing to someone who would come a long time later? It's pointing to the Lord Jesus. Just as everyone who was on the ark was saved and everyone not on it was lost, so everyone who is in Jesus Christ will be saved, and everyone outside of him will be lost. It doesn't depend on one person being better or worse than another. There were probably some very nice people who didn't get onto the ark. There are some wonderful people, but they've never trusted in Christ for salvation. It all depends whether you are on board or not, trusting and believing in Christ. Are you this evening? Like Noah, we must enter the ark. We must be in Christ. Notice, a little aside, Noah's family joined with him in the ark. God was gracious to Noah's family. In 6 verse 18, God speaks about establishing his covenant with Noah. This is the first time we read that word covenant in the Bible. But it's not the first existence of a covenant. This covenant we're going to be coming back to when we reach chapter 9. But I want you to simply see here God's plan for families in the covenant. God's favour extends not only to Noah, but to his whole family as well. Are you a Christian parent this evening and you have a child who is not yet in the ark of the gospel? Keep praying. Keep praying to your covenant-keeping God. He may yet be gracious. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, maybe you're one of those children still outside the ark of the gospel. I want you to notice one verse in particular. It's in chapter 7, verse 16. The animals going in were male and female of every living thing, as God had commanded Noah. Then the Lord shut him in. There came a point when God shut the door of the ark. It speaks of two things. It speaks of safety for those inside the ark. But it also speaks of God's judgment upon those outside the ark. He shut everyone else out. There comes a time, friends, when the door will be shut. The question is not so much when will this time be, but are you in? That's the only issue when the day of judgment comes. Are you trusting fully in Christ as your only hope of deliverance from the coming wrath? That's the only question that matters come the judgment. Have you been shut in with Christ? Are you safe in Him? God invited Noah and his family on board the ark. Chapter 7, verse 1 begins, or speaks, "Go into the ark." Now, the Authorized Version puts it in a lovely way, "Come into the ark." Come into the ark. That's the invitation this evening, friends. God has not yet closed the door of salvation. And He says, "Come into the ark." Can you imagine what it must have been like when those 7 days were over? The people that had been laughing at Noah for such a long time, they now hear something. Drip, drip, drip. There's water coming from the sky. This rain that Noah talked about, it's getting faster. It's getting heavier. They look out the doors, they see water's coming up. It's seeping up from the ground at the start, no doubt. There was a little nervous smile, the odd joke. No doubt some of them are saying, "We've got rid of this weird preacher at last." But the laughter doesn't last. Because next morning it's still raining. The next morning it's still raining. And the next, and it's heavier. And the flood waters are rising. Moment by moment, hour by hour. And the laughter has stopped, and the jokes have stopped. And terror begins to strike the heart. No doubt there were many who lost their lives initially in those torrential tidal waves caused by the fountains of the great deep bursting forth. No doubt there was forced migration to higher ground. Can you picture a family making it as fast as they can to the highest mountain in their area? A father, he's carrying his child on his back. He's holding his wife by the hand as she's nursing a little infant. The children are crying. They're all drenched. On and on they climb. But almost as quickly as they climb, the waters, they're lapping at their feet. And the ground gets muddier. They slip. They stumble. Soon, one slips and they're gone. Then the other. Soon the water is at the ankles of those who remain at the top of the mountain. Then their knees. Then their waists. Soon they're gone. No doubt some hammered at the door of the ark. No doubt they wailed, "Noah! We believe you now." But they're shut out. The judgment of God. What a horrendous event. Bodies of human beings. Carcasses of animals. Everywhere. And friends, it's only a small picture of what will happen when Jesus Christ returns. Do you believe God when He says He's going to come back again and destroy the whole world? There's only one place to be safe. Like Noah, we must obey God. If you believe God, like Noah, we must be warning others. And if you believe God, like Noah, we must enter the ark. Will you come into the ark with me this evening? Will you come in to Jesus Christ? Amen.